Mahabharata, Chapter 57, Bhishma's Vow. On the far southern side of the battlefield, Arjuna fought the Samshaptakas, headed by Sushruta. These warriors were dauntless and had vowed never to retreat. They kept the Pandava fully engaged and away from Bhishma and the other leading Kurus. Arjuna fought fairly. He would not use the weapons that he had received from the gods, even though the celestial missiles were capable of annihilating his human foes. But even with conventional weapons, Arjuna was formidable. The Samshaptakas rushed at him in waves, hurling darts, lances, clubs, axes, and countless arrows, all of which Arjuna effortlessly countered with his own arrows from the Gandiva. He repeatedly struck his antagonists with clusters of shafts that tore through their armor. With every attack, thousands fell, but they kept coming at him. Late in the day, a messenger reached Arjuna and informed him of Iravan's death. He immediately cried out and sat down on his chariot. Seeing him overpowered by grief, Krishna maneuvered the chariot away from the enemy. Arjuna buried his head in his hands and he wept. After a few minutes, he said, "Alas, O Lord, I am realizing how pious was Yudhisthira in seeking to avert this war by any means. Surely that great-minded soul saw clearly how this war would mean such a terrible destruction of men. Therefore he begged for only 5 small villages. But the mean-spirited Duryodhan refused even that. Now innumerable Kshatriyas are being slain for the sake of wealth. Seeing all these heroes lying prostrate on the earth, I can only reproach myself. Fie upon the duty of a Kshatriya. Fie upon the desire for kingdom and wealth. I cannot take any pleasure in this battle." Arjuna gazed with tearful eyes at the waiting Samshaptakas. There was now no question of abandoning the fight. It was clear that the war would end only when Duryodhan's forces were annihilated, and him along with them. Arjuna's grief turned to anger as he thought of Duryodhan's obstinacy. Now Arjuna's own dear son had perished thanks to Duryodhan. Frowning and breathing heavily, Arjuna reached for his bow. "This is no time for a display of feminine sentiments. Drive the chariot toward Duryodhan, O Keshava. Let us cross over this impassable ocean of soldiers. By your grace, dear Lord, I will soon end this war." Krishna urged the horses forward, and the chariot raced across the field. From a distance, Arjuna saw the banners of Duryodhan, Drona, and Bhishma, who were fighting together, supported by Kripa, Ashvatthama, and Bhagadatta. As they saw Arjuna approach, they met him with volleys of arrows. Not tolerating their attack, Arjuna replied with arrows of his own. He began to range about the field, firing his shafts on all sides. Each of them flew with unerring accuracy toward its target. Warriors fell from their chariots like ripe fruits falling from a tree caught in a gale. As the sun fell to the west, the battle raged on. The combatants fell upon each other like angry lions fighting for their prey. They dragged one another by the hair and hacked off each other's limbs and heads. Striking with weapons, fists, feet, and teeth, they fought in a frenzy, slaying both armies in droves. Beautiful bows, their staves decked with gold and jewels, lay discarded on the field. Precious ornaments and arrows soaked in oil shone from the ground. Steel swords with ivory hilts and fine shields embossed with gold engravings fell from their owners' lifeless hands. Lances, darts, battle axes, and maces, all ornately worked with gold and jewels, were scattered about. Men lay in unnatural positions, still clutching weapons. With wide, staring eyes, they appeared as if still living. Others lay butchered and twisted, their arms and legs akimbo, and their mouths hanging open. The smell of blood and burning flesh filled the air. Toward the end of the day, a fearful fight took place between Bhima and Duryodhan. Having just single-handedly slain an entire division of 10,000 men, Bhima heard Duryodhan challenging him. "Stand and fight with me, Bhima, if you have any courage. So far you have killed only ordinary soldiers. Let us see how you fare against a truly powerful warrior." Clasping his iron mace as if he might crush it, Bhima laughed. "The hour I have so long, anxiously awaited, has arrived. Today I will kill you, if you do not abandon the fight out of fear. Today I will soothe the sorrow of Kunti and Draupadi. Killing you in battle, I will avenge the woes we suffered in the forest. Inflated with pride, you have disregarded us. Reap now the fruits of that folly. O man of wicked mind, you have despised even the sinless Krishna, although he personally came to Hastinapur to seek peace. Filled with a sick joy, you sent Luka to us with your depraved messages. For all these acts, I will dispatch you and your relatives to death's abode." Bhima lifted his bow and instantly fired 36 arrows, resembling thunderbolts, at Duryodhan. They killed Duryodhan's horses, knocked his charioteer to the ground, and broke his bow. Bhima swiftly followed those arrows with two more razor-headed shafts, which cut down Duryodhan's standard and the white umbrella above his chariot. The core of his fine standard, emblazoned with a gold serpent and decked with gems, suddenly dropped to the ground, and Bhima roared in exultation. Duryodhan reached for another bow, but Bhima struck him with 10 more arrows. The Kaurava reeled about on his chariot. Without his horses, he could not maneuver away from Bhima's attack. Seeing his plight, Jayadrath advanced and attacked Bhima with a shower of arrows. At the same time, Kripa came up to Duryodhan and took him onto his own chariot. As Kripa carried away the almost unconscious Duryodhan, many other Kaurava fighters attacked Bhima, who was then joined by Abhimanyu. A ferocious battle ensued among all those heroes. Once again the sun set on scenes of widespread destruction all over the battlefield. The two armies withdrew for the night, praising each other for their respective feats of prowess. Back in his tent, Duryodhan slowly came to his senses. Smarting from the wounds inflicted by Bhima and from the shame of losing the fight, he began to think of Karna. If Bhishma were not willing to slay the Pandavas, then he should stand down and allow Karna to fight. The Kaurava prince decided to speak with his friend, who was in the camp and waiting for his opportunity to join the battle. Seeing him entering his tent, bloodied and covered with dust, Karna jumped up and embraced him. "How fares the Kurus? Are you gaining victory over your enemies and increasing your fame?" Duryodhan shook his head. "No, my friend, things are not going our way. We are being routed by the warlike Pandavas, who cannot be slain even by the Celestials. Day by day they are grinding down my forces. O Karna, I am weakening, and our store of weapons has been reduced. I am now wondering if we will ever defeat the Pandavas." Karna's face flushed, and he clenched his fists. "Grieve not, O best of the Bharatas. I will do what is pleasing to you without delay. Let Bhishma be withdrawn from the battle. When that old hero lays down his weapons, I will come personally to slay the Pandavas. Bhishma will always treat Pandu's sons leniently, and is incapable of killing them. Order him to stand down, O king. I swear that I will then, before everyone's eyes, bring down the mighty Pandavas in battle." Karna only wanted to say what pleased Duryodhan. He knew that he too could not kill all the Pandavas. He had promised Kunti to spare all but Arjuna. At least he would fight with his full power, perhaps killing Arjuna and sending the other brothers fleeing, and that would lead to the Kaurava's victory without a doubt. Duryodhan was heartened. "Your words fire me with new enthusiasm, O great hero. I will go to Bhishma. If the powerful warrior will not agree to slay the Pandavas tomorrow, then I will return. You will then be able to fight, for I will persuade Bhishma to retire." Duryodhan left Karna's tent. Mounting his dark-colored horse, he made his way to Bhishma's quarters. Seeing him so badly hurt, Bhishma had royal physicians cleanse his wounds. He then personally applied herbs, which quickly healed the prince. By the application of Vishalyakarani, a herb taken from the Himalayan mountains, Bhishma removed Duryodhan's pain. As he was treated, the Kaurava leader spoke anxiously with his commander. "It seems that we can do nothing to stop the Pandavas' onslaught. O sire, they surge forward and break our lines." Penetrating, crushing, and slaughtering, the mighty warriors gained fame at our expense. Today they smashed apart our formation and routed our troops. I myself have been wounded by Bhima and almost slain. O best of men, I do not accept that you are incapable of checking the Pandavas. Tomorrow you should exert your full power. By your grace I desire to obtain victory and kill Pandu's sons." Bhishma looked with pity upon Duryodhan. He could not realize that his hope to destroy the Pandavas was futile. Equally futile was trying to explain that to him. He would have to learn the hard way. Bhishma thought of Krishna. Whatever plans or maneuvers the Kurus attempted, no matter how skillful, Krishna would doubtlessly thwart. Yet as the commander of the Kuru army, Bhishma knew it was his duty to do everything in his power to try to defeat the Pandavas. Duty was painful. At least it brought him into contact with Krishna, and that could never be inauspicious under any circumstances. Having finished his medical administrations, Bhishma took his seat by Duryodhan's side. "I have fought to the utmost of my power each day." The old Kuru held up his arms, which were scarred from countless strikes of the bowstring. "I have slain tens of thousands of warriors. Still I cannot harm the Pandavas and their foremost fighters. They are protected by virtue and by the Lord of Virtue himself. What can exertion achieve?" Duryodhan folded his palms as he addressed Bhishma. "Relying on you, O slayer of foes, we are capable of vanquishing in battle even the celestials and asuras combined. What then of the Pandavas? How can I believe that you cannot kill 5 men, even if they are supported by their relatives and allies?" Tears flowed from Duryodhan's eyes. "O son of Ganga, O Lord, you should be merciful to me. Slay the sons of Pandu, like Indra slays the Danavas. Make good your promise to me that you would slaughter the enemy armies. Exhibit your full power and kill the 5 brothers, along with all their followers." Duryodhan paused and breathed deeply. He looked into Bhishma's eyes. "Or, if out of compassion for them, O Lord, or hatred for me, you do not wish to kill the Pandavas, then please step down and allow Karna to fight. That great hero, the very ornament of battle, has promised to kill Kunti's sons and all their allies." Bhishma felt the dagger of Duryodhan's words pierce his heart. The prince's suggestion that he was not trying his best only compounded the pain he already felt at having to fight in the first place. It seemed Duryodhan had no intelligence. Had he not seen how hard his warriors had been fighting? What more did he think Karna could achieve? Bhishma remained silent for a moment to control his anger. Breathing heavily and clutching the hilt of his sword, he finally said in a cool voice, "Why, O Duryodhan, are you stinging me with this insult? I am always endeavoring to the best of my ability to accomplish your good, even at the cost of my life. I say that Pandavas are invincible. Is it not sufficient evidence that Arjuna gratified Agni by withholding the celestial hosts at Kandava? Or that he and his brother rescued you from the enraged Gandharvas? Where was the Suta's son at that time?" Bhishma felt an increasing sense of frustration as he addressed Duryodhan. The prince thought only of himself. He cared nothing for others. Why could he not understand what was in his own best interests in this case? Surely he was blinded by envy and hatred for his cousins. Thus he embraced his own destruction, even as it unfolded before his eyes. Mixed with his frustration, Bhishma felt compassion. "Surely a man on the brink of death loses his senses, O son of Gandhari. You cannot see the inevitable consequences of the enmity that you have created with the Pandavas. Standing as they are with the immortal and infallible Keshava on the field, There can only be one outcome. This is your doing. Why do you rant? The time you have long anticipated has arrived. Now match your malice with acts of valor. Display your long-vaunted prowess on the battle and end this conflict. Servants entered the tent to inform Bhishma and the prince that their meal was ready. Duryodhan dismissed them with a wave of his hand. He had no appetite. Since the battle had begun, he had hardly eaten, refusing even the wine which he normally enjoyed so much. His mind thought only of the Pandavas and how they might be slain. Sitting at Bhishma's feet, he looked up at him imploringly. If the son of Ganga became determined, then the Pandavas were as good as dead. Bhishma drew a deep breath. You should know, O monarch, that I will not at any time abandon you or the Kurus. Such is the duty of Kshatriyas, and indeed my own determination. For your sake, O king, I will make a mighty effort to bring about the Pandavas' death tomorrow. Breaking through the hostile ranks, I will personally confront them in the thick of battle. Any who come to protect them will be at once killed. With the exception of Sikandi, I will spare none. Bhishma reached down by his side and lifted up his large silver quiver, which was studded with precious stones. He extracted 5 shining arrows, gilded with gold and decked with gems. These arrows were fitted with long spiked heads and fletched with buzzard feathers. Bhishma spread out a silk cloth on the ground and carefully placed the 5 arrows upon it. As Duryodhan watched, he sat in meditation for a few moments, muttering Vedic mantras. Finally, he said, I have imbued these 5 arrows with the full force of my ascetic powers. Even Indra would not escape them. With them I will kill the 5 Pandavas tomorrow. Bhishma's voice was flat and cheerless. Tears came into his eyes as he continued, Sleep peacefully tonight, O king. In the morning I will come out and fight a terrible battle, the like of which has been never seen. The Pandavas will not escape. Only Krishna can save them. But he has vowed not to take up weapons. A smile touched the corner of Bhishma's mouth. Would Krishna find some way to save his beloved servants? That would be wonderful indeed. But failing that, the Pandavas would be finished. His empowered arrows would not fail. Duryodhan jumped to his feet, beaming and slapping his arms. Then he became thoughtful. Like Bhishma, he also wondered if Krishna might devise some means to thwart the plan. Looking down at the arrows lying before Bhishma, he said, Let me keep these shafts tonight. I will guard them carefully and hand them over to you at the start of the battle. Bhishma nodded, and Duryodhan took the arrows. He bowed before Bhishma and went to his own quarters, carefully placing the arrows by his bed. Now surely the Pandavas were doomed. Bhishma was famous everywhere as Devavrata, one of unbreakable vows. Nothing would stop him from fulfilling his promise. Duryodhan lay down happily to rest. He could not wait for the next day's battle. Yudhisthira sat in his tent, surrounded by his brothers. After 8 days of fighting, it seemed his forces were gaining the upper hand. Although pleased, Yudhisthira was simultaneously saddened that so many men were being slaughtered. By the time the war ended, the earth would be full of widows. Yet what could be done? He had made every attempt to bring about peace. The stubborn Duryodhan and his blind father were to blame. Now they were suffering the results of their folly. They were so foolish that not even Krishna could change their minds. Yudhisthira looked at Krishna. The Yadava hero had assumed a pensive expression. As everyone settled into their seats around him, he began to speak. We are becoming successful in this fight. Bhima and Arjuna are crushing the Kauravas, supported by all you men. In my view, our enemies will resort to every desperate means to reverse the situation. Even now I sense that they are devising some dangerous scheme. Krishna looked at Arjuna, who sat apart from the others, his head bowed. He thought only of Iravan. The Naga prince had fought only out of love for his father. Arjuna remembered the day long ago when he had conceived Iravan with Ulupi. She had raised the boy among the Nagas, but he had sometimes come to see Arjuna at Indraprastha. Tears fell from Arjuna's eyes as he recalled the days he had spent with his son. Now that boy lay on a hero's bed, another victim of Duryodhan's greed. Arjuna sighed and looked through the tent opening into the dark night. Krishna moved toward his friend and placed an arm around his shoulder. O Partha, holding fast to the duty of a Kshatriya, dismiss your grief. Your son has surely reached everlasting regions of bliss. Shake off your sorrow and fix your mind on the fight. Arjuna wiped his eyes and turned toward Krishna. How fortunate he was that the Lord of all beings was personally present to keep him fixed in virtue. The duty of a warrior was certainly not easy. Krishna smiled comfortingly as he went on. There is something you must do tonight, Arjuna. Do you recall the time when you saved Duryodhan from the Gandharvas? How he then promised to return the favor? I believe that time has now come. The Kaurava has in his possession 5 arrows meant for the death of you and your brothers. O Arjuna, go to him in friendship and ask for the arrows. Arjuna remembered that day in the forest when he had released Duryodhan and his brothers. The Kaurava had been consumed by shame, and yet his Kshatriya honor had compelled him to admit that he owed Arjuna a boon. Arjuna recalled how he had laughed and said he would claim it in the future. He had thought that that day would never come, but it seemed that Krishna thought differently. Arjuna began to remove his armor. O Janardhan, I will always follow your determination. I will go at once to Duryodhan. Unarmed and alone, Arjuna mounted a white horse and rode across to the Kaurava camp. By the Kshatriya's code of honor, he knew he faced no danger. Many times after the day's fighting, the soldiers of the two armies would meet together as friends. The Kaurava guards stood aside as they saw Arjuna arrive. He was quickly shown to Duryodhan's quarters, where he found the prince about to sleep. Duryodhan stood up in surprise as Arjuna was shown in. "Hail, O Partha," he said, pointing to a seat near his bed. "You are welcome. Tell me why you are here. Have you come to ask for the kingdom without a fight? If so, then I will give it to you at once." Arjuna knew that Duryodhan was being facetious. Arjuna would never beg for anything. If he were to take the kingdom, it would only be at the end of the war, after his enemies were slain. But he obviously wanted something. Duryodhan looked at him curiously. Arjuna continued to stand. "O hero, I have come here remembering that you offered me a boon. Do you recall that promise?" Duryodhan shrank with shame as he thought back to that day. "Yes, of course, I remember it well. What would you ask of me?" "I believe you have here 5 arrows, O Bharata. I wish to have them." Duryodhan looked at him with shock, but without hesitation he reached down and picked up the arrows. Placing them across his outstretched hands, he offered them to Arjuna. "Take them at once, Partha, but pray tell me how you knew about them." Taking the arrows and thanking Duryodhan, Arjuna told him that Krishna had informed him of their existence. He then took his leave and returned to Yudhisthira's tent, leaving Duryodhan seated on his bed, wringing his hands. Krishna again. Maybe the eulogies of Bhishma and Vidura were true. There was surely something extraordinary about that Yadava. It seemed he knew everything. Duryodhan lay down and gazed up at the empty expanse of the tent's large roof. Was there any hope of victory? Perhaps. The arrows may be gone, but Bhishma had still decided to kill the Pandavas.